Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
If you didn't catch Richard, my name's Jonathan. It's my tremendous privilege to be the leader at the congregation here. And I don't know how many of you were around on Friday evening up at Foundry Lane. We had a tremendously powerful 2.5 hours, I think. And it was full, wasn't it? We kind of arrived empty because we've been praying. We've kind of been looking for God in a new way for 40 days. And some of us have been kind of stopping doing certain things. For some, that was stopping watching the television. I haven't watched television since the 31st of December. The first thing that I watched on the TV was England beat Italy in the Six Nations. So I prioritised my TV program. No Italians here today, no? Excellent. So that was great. And then I thought, because I haven't watched television for ages, I then watched France and whoever they played, Ireland. So I'm sorry, France. But at least you did come second, so it's not all bad. But on Friday evening, we had a tremendously powerful time. It was about 250 from the church just met together, and we had some food. So well done for taking the food. Well done for eating all the food. There was not a bit left at the end of it. It was like a locust plague had hit the place. It was like, I said grace. I said, thank you, Jesus, for the food. And within, by the time grace had finished rolling around the building, everything had been stripped clean. Yeah. I mean, everything had been eaten. The food, the paper plates, the napkins. I mean, people's fingers. I was amazed. It was like a great amount of self-control was not being exercised. No, it was brilliant. And there was lots of family time. People kind of chatting, getting to know people from across the locations. And then at just gone 8 o'clock, we celebrated Pastor Gary, who some of you would know. He's our pastoral development director. He kind of is a people person. He's much more of a people person than me. Thank you. Five there said yes, you said no. I'm going with the no. Thank you, I love you. It was his 50th birthday on one of the days when we didn't eat any food, so we couldn't get him any cake or chocolate or anything. So we celebrated his birthday, and we kind of sang happy birthday in some kind of key. I'm not sure what key it was. Z flat, I think. Anyway, but we celebrated him and just appreciated him, and then loads of people went up and said how much they loved him and frisked his pockets, and I don't know what they did with him. But then we just really continued to celebrate everything that God has done. And I know from the people here and also in Horsham and in Crawley, there's been some tremendous stories of how when we give up certain things on God's behalf, God gives us more than he did before. Yeah, and it's incredible how there's such a tremendous relationship between what we choose to give up, which we think might cost us something, and then God suddenly gives us something at no cost at all. And it's one of these paradoxes where what we think costs us a lot, when we make a decision to forsake it or give it up, God gives us something which is totally free and it's a gift. Have you realized that? If you know Jesus today, then you know the greatest gift that you could ever have is the gift of knowing who Jesus is and the gift of receiving that life for yourself. If you don't know who that Jesus is, that free gift is available for you today. There is no cost at all. It just costs you everything that you are. But the benefits of knowing Jesus far outweigh the cost of not living for myself, but living for God instead. So if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, please, please, please take some time. Either come and speak to me or Richard, who is leading through, or Andrew, who's up here scratching his ear. It's a really nice ear. It's not here, otherwise that'll be the final frontier. It's a right ear. What? Janet's not here. No, my wife's gone out there. My son-in-law is here, though, and he's taking notes. And he is a lawyer, so I have to be careful with what I say, Your Honour. So, what we're going to look at is why, where are we going now? Because obviously the 40 days, that season of time has finished. And one of the things which I believe God wants to help us to kind of understand is that we're not living in something that's already happened. God wants us to live in what happened during that time and then bring it into now and tomorrow. There's some principles in the Bible, and if you kind of know the Bible, it's fine. If you don't know the Bible, just kind of take this with a certain amount of trust. is that whenever God wants to change a season, when God wants to do something new, when God wants to release something or realize something or just change something, He pretty much 100% of the time takes an individual like you or a group like us and He says, right, stop doing that for a while because I'm about to do something new. There are no exceptions in the Bible with this whatsoever. In the Old Testament, which is the first part of the Bible, or the New Testament, which is the second part of the Bible, which talks really about Jesus and what He's done. But every single time God wanted to do something interesting, He took about 40 days to do it. It flooded for about 40 days. Why? Because Noah, the first sound engineer in the Bible, you heard me say that a couple of weeks ago. If you weren't here, he is the first sound engineer in the Bible because his only job was 1-2. 1-2, he just counted animals in. 1-2, 1-2, that was it. He was a sound engineer. That's what the guys up behind you do that are laughing patiently at me. Because it's a time of testing. God had a plan and God was going to do something brand new and it took him 40 days to do it. Probably most of the plagues that attacked Egypt from that God sent was over a 40-day period. People fasted for 40 days. People learn habits in 40 days. I can guarantee this. If you've got a habit and you don't like it, whatever that is, smoking, drinking, watching the wrong stuff, if you stop doing it for 40 days, you will break the habit. Amen. Guarantee it. You will break the habit. Why? Because I think instinctively when God made you and made me, he made us to live without the wrong habits and he wants to make us live with the right ones. So if you kind of buy a Bible or pick a Bible up or just say, can I please borrow one? And you just begin to read the Bible for 40 days, you will get in the habit of reading the Bible. If you just pray, talk to Jesus a little bit, listen to what he's saying and just do it for 40 days, you will find a new habit of prayer. If you start to maybe give into the offering or maybe just give some time, give some talent, give some of your treasure to something, after 40 days, you find a new habit. Because we've been designed to live in this kind of habitual way. We're supposed to be habitual Christians. Woohoo! Now, Christianity is a habit. It's a bit that I do a bit, then I do it a bit more, then I do it a bit more until I can't do anything else and it becomes a habit. That's how habits are formed. And we find it in the days of Jesus, and the scripture's going to come up behind me, some kind of bits of the Bible. Jesus showed us the power of a 40-day habit. He was born in a really low place, at a really low time, in a really low situation. Jesus was not born in a snow-covered Bethlehem. He was born in one of the lowest parts of the world. It's several feet below sea level. The earth's crust is very thin there. The water's warm there. That's why you can get a harbor mud. It's good for your face pack. Comes from the Dead Sea. It's also why there's lots of healing springs around that area. If you ever go over there, there's a whole loads of places with saunas and spas. Why? Because there's something in the water there. And Jesus appeared in an area like that. And he wanted to change a habit of a lifetime. And it was a habit that one day I could change my life and I could get a habit of living for God and living with God. So Jesus came to show me how to change my habits and how you can change your habits as well. And after these 40 days, as I was just kind of thinking about today, I'm kind of thinking about, okay, what did God do on Friday? It was powerful. It was really, really full of God's presence. I mean, it got to the time when we just had to kind of stop the meeting, otherwise we'd have been there all night. The band were going for it. I was going for it. There were about 250 people just giving it large. And then suddenly it's like, where's the time gone? That's because when we learn the habit of being led by God, time is less important. And when we learn the habit of just following God, time becomes less relevant. Doesn't mean that we're late for everything. That's just being sloppy. It means that time doesn't have the same pressure on our lives. It is my personal conviction that the only reason why God invented time is so that you could go to sleep at night. Because if you kind of know your Bible, at the pointy end, at the beginning, at Genesis, in the first day, all God did, when Richard read it out, was he put the light on. Now, in my understanding, if we don't have our Rolexes or our Timex or our police watches, whatever it is that we've got, The only way that we can tell the time is with a watch. But back a few thousand years ago, the only way they could tell the time is the sun was up or the sun was down. They don't do that in Worthing still, do they? It is different. It's moved on a bit, has it? Everybody stands at the pier and say, oh, there's the sun. It's another day. They don't do that, do they? They do. Viv, you're nodding. Is that Durrington they do that, is it? Okay, Durrington, they need to get some electricity over there. What I'm saying is this, is that in my understanding of the Bible, it wasn't until the third day that God made the sun. So how long were the first 2 days then? Anyway, I'm moving on because it's not a... The point is this. God designed days so we can learn new habits. God wants to teach us new things. All the way through the Bible, he says, make the day count. Make the day mean something. This day has tremendous potential in it. And after these 40 days, we're kind of, you know, is it what, 41, 42? This is the 42nd day. I believe God is saying something like this. We're just going to dip into a bit of the Bible. Some of you would know it. It's in Luke chapter 4. And this is where Jesus, who was born in a pretty insignificant place, he was born at a very significant time. He was born in a very insignificant way. He was in the lowest of the lowest. It wasn't even a stable, it was a cave. I don't believe all your Christmas cards. I have no idea how many wise men there were. How many wise men are there? There's at least 15 in the room. 18. It's going up. I don't know how many wise men there were. But what I know is this, is that Jesus, it says in Luke 4 verse 1, full of the power of God or full of the Holy Spirit, he went into the desert. And I think that part of the 40 days, that certainly from my experience and from many people that have spoken to me, is that we've realized that God is bigger than we thought he was. I think we've realized that God is bigger than we perceived him to be when we were not in a desert. How many of you know that for most Christians, we don't always rely on God when everything's going great? Maybe that's just me. Sometimes we only begin to engage with God when things are not going so great. How many of you know that God is no different when things are going great than when he's not going great? He's just the same. And I think what Jesus shows me here is that if we really want to move forward, and how many of you want to move forward after the 40 days? Of course you do. The only way to move forward is to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't get led by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's how the world leads us. I used to buy Friday afternoon cars. Every car I bought, things fell off them. And somebody said to me, oh, it's because they made it Friday afternoon. You know, it's early closing, people have got the holiday head on. It's like, I don't want a car called Friday afternoon car. I want a car that's called useful. Is that just me? I have no idea. Sometimes a car on a Monday, you know, you'll have more bits in it than you need because everybody's buzzing. You know, I've had a weekend away, I'll chuck this in and boom, yeah, get it. I don't want a Monday car. I want a car that's going to work, that's reliable, that doesn't change. So I'm not going to buy a Ford. Hallelujah. Sorry, it's my own personal philosophy. Forgive me. I believe Ford means fix or repair daily. And if you don't like that, it could mean found on the road dead. It's up to you. It's like Lotus. Lotus means lots of trouble, usually serious. Volkswagen. VW. Very wonky. I can't do that, Norton. Thanks for asking. Just sip it. Okay. So to move forward out of this 40 days experience, whatever it's been, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. And there are some reasons why. We need to recognize that we're in a new season now. We're not us in a season where our responsibility is to stop certain things. But we're now in a season where our responsibility is to start doing certain things that we weren't doing before. And we'll have a look at what some of those can be as we read this story. I believe in the midst of our leading or being led by the Holy Spirit, the challenges increase. This is a word of encouragement. In my experience and what I understand of the Bible is that your greatest breakthrough is a second after you've not given up when your greatest challenge is knocking on your door. In my experience, your biggest breakthrough in terms of receiving who God is and seeing how God used you and hearing God and praying and just getting results, your greatest breakthrough, your greatest new experience usually is about a half a second after you've refused to quit on God when the pressure's got intolerable. This is a dynamic of God. This is what being led in the Holy Spirit is. Why? Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And if we're really led by the Holy Spirit, then God's for us. Doesn't mean that we don't face challenges. What it means is that we find freedom in the face of challenges. It doesn't mean that we don't get tempted. Even Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted. But here's a funny reality. Hebrews 4:15 says this, and this is why I love Jesus. It says, we have a high priest who can he understands our challenge. He gets it. He understands that on a Sunday morning, we try the best we can to look Christian. And some of us are really good at it. Some of us, we're learning. We don't want to sound as if we're having a tough time. We want to look at least mildly happy. We want to look fairly joyful. But let me tell you, tomorrow's called the same as today as far as God is concerned. Today the world calls it Monday and God says it's Freedom Day. It's all gone quiet at the back. So when we face our challenges, and Jesus faced kind of three key ones, and there's a reason why there are three, but we don't want to go too much into that. It's basically this. What used to attract us in terms of our visual stimuli, God wants to refocus that. God wants to refocus what we look at, because he knows what we look at the most, we become like. He knows that what we stare at the most, what we look at the most, we begin to identify with it maybe too much. And in that time of challenge, God says, actually, I met that challenge head on and I broke it. And I've got a victory over it, which means I have, you can. Then the second area is around prestige. It's around being a celebrity. It's about being popular. If you really are. Well, if you've given your life to Jesus, you might wake up one morning and you might hear the world say, if you're really a Christian, why do you like that? If you're really a Christian, why don't you forgive more? If you're really a Christian, why aren't you praying more? Well, you can just tell that to say, actually, I am a Christian, so shave off. Shut the door behind you. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Because Jesus dealt with that as well. He was tempted and said, oh, well, if you are this, you can change a bit of stone into a bit of bread. You're hungry. What's the matter with you? But when we're led by the Spirit, we don't do things for the spectacular. We do things out of obedience. Being a Christian is not about being the one at the front or the one at the back. It's about being in the middle of where God wants us to be. It's not about being the loudest or the quietest. It's about the one that's expressing the life of God in the best way we can. Do you understand that? So there's challenges coming forward. But in my experience, and in many of your experiences as well, the greater the challenge, the greater the victory. The greater the challenge, the greater the victory, as long as we hold fast to the Word of God. And we let the Spirit of God have dominance and precedence through our lives. And then Jesus went on a little bit, and this is why Hebrews 4 is so important. We have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, the Bible says. In other words, we don't have anything happen to us at all, whether it's in our mind, whether it's in our emotion, whether it's in our body, whether it's through relationships. We don't experience anything at all that Jesus hasn't already experienced on our behalf. So there's nothing wrong with being tempted. Otherwise, Jesus would have been wrong. And Jesus was the only man that wasn't wrong, which is why he could die for my wrong and live to make me right. But actually, because Jesus faced the wrong, not for him, but for me, and he said, actually, I'm trusting in God's power and I'm trusting in God's word and I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not visiting any other option. You see, sometimes it's easy to get tempted quickly. High risers normally end up falling after a bit. We've got to be wise on the way up. In the business world, it used when I was getting trained up in stuff, one piece of wisdom which I forgot immediately I gave my life to Jesus is be careful who you make friends with up on the way up, because when you come down, you might want them. Well, I don't think God's called us down. He's only called us up. Whatever role you've got in the workplace is God's given role for you. So therefore, he wants to lead you in it. He wants to lead through that. He wants to speak to you in it. He wants to speak to you through that. And as we follow the Holy Spirit, he will promote you, promote me, because that's how he does it. God doesn't need management structure. God doesn't need hierarchical authority. He is our authority. And the Bible says this is a principle of promotion. If you walk humbly before me, I will raise you up in due time. I like that. I believe there's people in this room, God, in this next part of our journey going forward, is God is going to increase your significance in your world. What I mean by that is where you work, where you live. God is going to increase your significance as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's good, isn't it? And then the last area, Jesus could have just decided, I'm just going to change sides. Because there's a bit of a goal at the end of this, which is I can have wealth. I can have dominion, which means kind of authority and rule and celebrity status. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going there. I don't believe prayer and fasting makes anybody famous, but it does make them relentless. Prayer and fasting doesn't make people famous, but it does make us relentless. We're not quitters. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. So part for me of this prayer and fasting is I've been experiencing this relentless love and power and presence of God. These 40 days, I think on just a physical level, have been the most manic, most stretching 30-hour day, 8-day-a-week times that I've ever experienced in my entire life. But in the midst of it has been tremendous joy, peace and righteousness and a sense of well-being. I think that's awesome, don't you? And then as we go on, we find Jesus comes into this process of 40 days. There's things he could do, he didn't. There's things he could have done, he didn't. There's things he could have acknowledged, he didn't. He just got led by the Holy Spirit. And then afterwards it says, Jesus returned. This is Luke 4, 14, thereabouts. In the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus found another level. Even Jesus found another expression of God's presence in his life. But what difference did it make? Well, let's have a look. It says news about him spread through the whole countryside. I believe for you, God wants the good news of your life with Jesus to spread a bit. He wants people around your world, people around your influence to know actually you stand for something different than the world stands for. You believe in a God who's alive, not a God who's dead. I believe in this kind of new part of our journey is just being a Christian, just giving your life to Jesus, God is going to use that in a much more significant way than he could have done before. And something's going to spread. It's not going to be because you go on loads of missions or loads of kind of stupid stuff. It's just because you're relentless in your trust in God. Is it you're relentless in what God has said or God has shown you and you refuse to give up on it? Because you've experienced it in a new way. But as a result of that, influence is going to spread. What does it look like? Well, here's a few things, thoughts on what it looks like. Luke 4:33-35, it says this, in a synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, which is another word for a spirit which doesn't belong to God. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away! What do you want, Jesus of Nazareth? Here's a funny old thing. Without going too into spooky land, I think there are things that influence people and they're not really nice. They're not very nice. Anger and hurt and hatred and murder. That's not God's life. And there's all kinds of stuff out there and they're going to recognize who you are without you telling them. What I mean by that is that when you walk into a neighbour's house, you're going to carry peace where there might have been turmoil in there. Yeah. Is that you're just going to bring restoration where maybe people trying to kill each other 10 seconds before. Is that when you go into the workplace, you're going to bring a little bit of order into it where maybe there was chaos. You're going to bring a little bit of comfort where maybe there was a broken heart. So in other words, you probably haven't done anything. It's who you are, not what you do that makes the difference. Yes. This is the new. As we get led in the Holy Spirit, then it goes on and says this. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I think for some of you, the pen is going to drop where people realize you're just wired differently. You just don't talk like everybody else does. You just don't react like everybody else does. You just don't swear like everybody else does. You don't just go out necking it every night like everybody else does. Why? Because there's something about your lifestyle. And I want to know what it is. They might not use the word holy. If they don't you either. Unless you're prepared to explain what it means in two sentences. I just live with a different set of rules. I just want to live for God all the time, not for me. All right? If you can use language like that, that's fine. But then Jesus said this, be quiet. Tremendous authority. And I think as we pray for our neighbours, pray for our families, pray for our loved ones, pray for our workplaces, I think part of what we learn is that you can shut up the wrong sound. You can silence the wailing and the noise and the aggravation and the anger and the jealousy and the angst. You can silence the backbiting. You can just silence it. Like Jesus did. Just be quiet. We're not having that. That's not who we are. That's not the kind of workplace I want to live in. That's not the atmosphere that I want to be part of. Then it goes on here. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon, Simon's mother-in-law. No mother-in-law jokes now. Was suffering from a high fever. They asked Jesus to help her, so he bent down. I like this. I think we're going to find as we just get led by the Holy Spirit is that we're going to have to start bowing down a little bit to meet the needs of people that we think are lower than us. Now, at an encounter evening a couple of weeks ago, God said, I bow down to lift you up. I stoop down to raise you up. And that totally changed my world. It made me realize that when we're led by the Holy Spirit, we're led to lift people up, not to dominate people. Yeah, that's right. You get that? This is Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit. He's now full of the power of God. He finds an affinity with this lady, but he's not going to be sick like she is. He just wants to understand it so he can lift her up. And he says he rebuked the fever and left her. So she got up at once. I think as we get led by the Holy Spirit, miracles are going to become normal. Most of the people that believe this are on this side. Do you want to swap seats? Maybe you want to swap seats. It's as we just get led by the Holy Spirit with this relentless kind of expectation that God can use me. God says, I have what I have. I can do what I do. Is that miracles become part of my day. They just become part of my day. And when I experience that expectation, someone else gets it in their life, don't they? But then it goes on. At sunset, and this is the relentless bit, this is God's sunset, not my sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were sick, and he healed all of them. I think that's quite good. We might think, oh yeah, I've been to a revival meeting like that. Our life is a revival meeting now. This is the point of this. After 40 days of prayer and fasting, you don't think God wants us to be worse than we were before, do you? No, he wants us to be far more fruitful now than we were before. Far more under the influence of the power of God than we were before. He wants us to be far more expectant of miracles than we were before. At daybreak, so I don't know what happened between sunset and daybreak, sounds like a busy night to me. Jesus went to a solitary place. People were looking for him. When they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving and said, but he said this. Here's something interesting. One of the things which I think we need to learn is that when God begins to use you and my life in power, and he surely will, is that we don't stand still on our last success. We don't stay where we had our last great time with God. Is we move forward because tomorrow's another one. And the day after's another one. And the day after that's another one. Because there are people out there that needs to be on the receiving end of what you have received. It says he went to a solitary place, people looking for him, but he said, no, I must proclaim or declare the good news of the kingdom because that's why I was sent. So let's just round this up. What are the prayer and fasting days for? They're not for us. They're just to get us ready. They're just to refocus us. Just prove to us that we can live without what we thought we could live without, but we cannot live without God. Just to help us refocus on what's really important. Because sometimes things that aren't important become important because we rely on them too much. And God is saying, actually, all you need to rely on is me. It's to help us to refocus our expectation that Maybe I need to just live a bit of a fasted life. And I spoke on that a few Sundays ago, if you want to get that message, which is this fasted life means I'm just going to live more for God than I did before. I don't need to watch all that telly. I don't need to spend all that time on a smartphone. It just makes me stupid more times you use it. Because there's actually people in the room that need what I've got more than the people at the end of a text. Do you understand that? And that's part of this. It says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's what I was sent. And he kept on speaking and preaching in the synagogues of Judah. What does that mean today? I believe every house, every workplace, every shop that you go into is like a synagogue. In the sense that people get attached to it, they love it. That's where they get fed from. That's where some of their relations come from. Even Tesco Express, even if you pop in and out. And I've been there and watched people. Sometimes just watch people, 10, 15 minutes. And they just come in, chat. Oh, it's nice. It's part of their community. It's where they do church. I've seen it. It's just so many times we're just whizzing in and whizzing out. No, if we're task orientated, then thank you, Jesus. But if we're people orientated, I like to watch. Who's in here with me? What are they doing? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? All kinds of people go to synagogues. There were loads of people at a synagogue yesterday. It was called Twickenham. I wish I was there. All kinds of people go to synagogues every Saturday. It's called football stadium. It's their synagogue. It's their church. We came second in the cricket against Australia. Thank you very much. I'm glad you never mentioned it. But it's like people's synagogue. Everybody's got a synagogue. Everybody has. Maybe it's a garage. Maybe it's a nightclub. Maybe it's a shop. Maybe it's a... I don't know what it... Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's got somewhere where they identify certain things with. All I'm saying is, Jesus wants to send us out into places like that to change them for God. That's all I'm saying. Is that Jesus wants us all, the entire population of Kingdom Faith Church, to go and change the world for God. But the only way we're going to do that is if we're led by the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Let's all stand up, shall we? You're very patient. I thought when I took the light off, I was going to lose your attention. Again, I appreciate that some of you haven't been here before. Well, I haven't been here before today either. It's my first day today. And most people in the room, it's their first day today. So what I'm going to do now is just going to ask you to close your eyes. It does all go dark. That's absolutely fine. And I'm just going to pray a little bit. I'm just going to talk to God. And as I'm doing that, hello. Marie's going to the loo. In case she wanted to do it without anybody noticing. I'm just going to pray. Not for Marie. She can get on with that. I'm just going to pray. And I know God's going to speak to everybody here. I believe he already is. And I'm just going to invite you to respond however you want to. You might want to kind of talk to God. You might want to talk to another. You might just want to turn and find someone and let's pray together. You just decide how you're going to respond. All I know is after 40 days, God is bigger. All I know is that after 40 days, we're less and he's more. All I know is after 40 days, God wants to increase his life through us. We don't get any more life from God. The Bible's really clear about that. But he just wants to express that life more fully through us. He loves it when people say, actually, I'm going to stop doing that and I'm going to start doing something which is going to have a kingdom benefit. So you can guarantee a couple of things. First thing is that Jesus is really well pleased with you. Doesn't mean he comes from Essex. I'm well pleased. He's well pleased. He's fully pleased. He's totally pleased beyond pleasure. Well, you can guarantee this. You might not feel very happy, but God is very pleased with you. Now, for some of you, that might be a bit of a shock. Nobody might have ever said that to you. Well, God is saying that to you. God is well pleased with you. He wants to comfort you, encourage you, lift you, heal you, set you apart. He wants to come and live in you, live through you. He thinks you're all right. That's his nature speaking. Okay, it might be. I'm aware of actually I've not been very smart. I've just kind of had maybe a bit of an attitude issue. Then just tell God what it is, and God will help you get rid of it. It might just be, well, actually, I just don't see myself as being any use to anybody. And I still an attitude issue. Tell God and he'll help me get rid of it. You might think you are God's answer to the world. You're not. You're the biggest problem in the world, like me. That's called pride. In which case, tell God that that's what you think, and God will help me with that attitude too. But in the next few moments, I know God's going to speak to people about the next few days. But we're going to hear it different, and we're going to perceive it different. And by the help of God, which is called his grace, we're going to live it different. Because the future is better than the past. The greatest days of our lives are ahead of us yet. That's the whole point of 40 days. It changes a season. So, Father, I thank you that you've taken us through a barren place where we've had to do with less, but we've ended up with more as a result. I thank you, God, that you've brought us through a journey in these last few weeks where there's been challenges in it and there's been kind of obstacles maybe. There's just been things in it that we've become aware of. But I want to thank you that when we've kept our focus on you, you've helped us overcome those things. I thank you that as a result, however we feel right now, you have brought us into a new place with you. And I thank you for doing that. I want to thank you that it's a place with bigger space around it, with greater influence around it. So I thank you for these men and women of influence that you brought here to the house today. I want to thank you that you want to lead them in the future into miracles, into wonders, into the things of God in a new way. I thank you that you want every person in this room, in J24/7, in United, in Foundry Lane, up in Horsham, at the RL Centre in Crawley, I thank you that you're saying this year is going to be fruitful. It's going to be abundant. And I thank you that as we follow your presence and your power, you lead us into abundance and fruitfulness and generosity. We thank you, we pray. Just respond in whatever way you want. You say you can talk to him if you want, or get someone to pray with you, or just have a conversation with you. We've got a few moments. There's no rush. That we move in, just following God, and we come out full of God. And it's all the work of God's grace. In other words, he does all kinds of things that we don't deserve. He gives us everything that we need. If you're in the work scenario, then in the workplace, you can expect to see change. If you don't work at the moment, you can see that tomorrow it's going to be a whole new expression of God's presence and life in you. For those of you that are in the Bible school, and there's a few over here, your next few weeks in term are going to be totally different from the first few weeks in term. Whatever it is that you do, God wants you into a whole new level of being and then doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It may be that there's some people, you know, I'm not assuming anything, that maybe you've just come along this morning to kind of find out what goes on in that theatre, you know, these crazy people. Well, it may be that you just don't know Jesus personally at all. You don't know that this person, who is God himself, took on a shape a bit like you and me. He came as a man. He lived a totally pure, holy life, totally dedicated for God. And he died a convict criminal's death, which wasn't nice, not for anything that he'd done, but for everything that you and I had done. And he did that very willingly. And the Bible says that at the moment he did that, it was the same as if he'd taken me to the cross with him. So that everything that I was born, and everybody's born broken in different ways. And it says that he took all those broken people to the cross with him. So that when we put our faith, our trust, our confidence in him, we could receive a new life. Not the old one, but a brand new one. And the Bible says that this is what's called being born again. We get born a second time. But the second time we're born of God, for God, and with God. We're not God, but God lives in us. It means that our eternity is secure, our future is certain. It means that we will never, ever be on our own, ever, ever again. Because God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. It means that we can experience God's presence and nature, and we could never do that before. We could also hear the God speaking to us personally, and we could never have that before. And also we could experience God working in us and through us, and we could never have that in the old way. It was just not possible. So what was impossible for us was possible for God. So God sent Jesus to come and die for you and for me. And if you haven't experienced this Jesus, then please come and speak to us in a few moments. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to give you the opportunity to get to know Jesus personally so that your life can be totally transformed and given a new life today, a life of hope and a future and a purpose. So, Father, I thank you for what you're saying. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you're about to change our lives upside down and send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.